of us, let's open up our Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 9. And we'll have the lesson handout right over here. Two gentlemen would want to come and help with these. All right. Adam, maybe go this side. And we'll have Bob go this side. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Front and back lessons. Front and back lessons there tonight. Proverbs chapter number 9, and I believe this is lesson number 7, the calling and confronting of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It almost sounds like Proverbs 1:7, but this one has a different ending on it. And if you'll open your Bibles, we'll read through the chapter here tonight before we get into the lesson. Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. I'll begin reading here as you follow along. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her 7 pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we look to you for wisdom, and we ask God that you would give us wisdom. Lord, you tell us to ask, Lord, in the book of James, and then you tell us to ask, to seek, and to knock in the Gospels. And then you tell us, Lord, to seek after wisdom here in the book of Proverbs. And Lord, you call to us. You want us to have wisdom. You want to give it to us. You want us to be blessed by you. So I pray you give us wisdom as we look at it, as we study it. I pray for all the teachers that they would be encouraged, Lord, with your students tonight. Lord, that they would be filled, that we would all just follow your leading. I pray for all the children to be blessed, all the teenagers to be blessed in their classes tonight. Watch over us now in a special way, we pray, and minister to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So at the top of your lesson, Proverbs lesson number 7, and we share the verse there, Proverbs 9:10. This is the last chapter before the book of Proverbs begins a series of pithy, compact sayings, which make a contrast between good and evil. This chapter contrasts the wise and the foolish throughout the chapter. Read chapter 9 through. That is your blank. Read chapter 9 through. I encourage men, all men, to read the book of Proverbs. Why? Because we need wisdom, and we need wisdom also to keep us away from danger. And this book helps us to keep away from a woman who is not our wife. It does say there's two sisters that we should have close by us, And one of them is understanding, and the other one is wisdom. And so God encourages us that way, but it keeps us from the path of evil. It keeps us from going down the wrong path, which will end up in a world of hurt. So number one here, the calling by wisdom. Proverbs 9, 1 through 6, as we see in chapter 8, wisdom wants to help people to seek and to practice wisdom. Okay, so God wants us to have it. So seek and practice wisdom, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Proverbs 8:32. And if you flip back in the last chapter, you see that right there. All right. The first part of this chapter tells of the work of wisdom making itself known to mankind. Making itself known to mankind. A, the preparation for the calling, Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 2, wisdom prepares diligently in presenting its case. The house in the preparation, the metaphor of the house gives us the idea of shelter. Wisdom shelters one from evil. There is safety in the wisdom of God. This is not a flimsy house. This house has stood the test of time and trials. Let's go to two passages of Scripture. Hold your place here in Proverbs. Let's first go to the one that I have down here, Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and look at verse 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, interesting, when you go to Nauvoo, Illinois, which is across the river from Iowa, the Mississippi River, you have a huge Mormon temple. They built that temple, at least a part of it, on sand, and it started to sink. And I thought, boy, what a proper picture that is of a foolish man building a structure, building a religion based upon a man rather than God and God's word. Let's look at Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. In verse number 3. Well, let's back it up. Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay? And so we know that Christ is wisdom personified. And so Matthew 7:27, great truths there. Let's go on. To build a good house takes much work and many resources. Wisdom is not lazy, but is industrious. A man was telling me this week, one of the men that comes, and I was talking to him, and he said he was building the house. So tomorrow I'm going to try to go by where he's building the house. And it's always fascinating to me to see all the work that gets put into a house before any structure ever goes up. And then to finally see the structure go up, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of resources. You think about not having a Lowe's or a Home Depot to go to, or your local place where you get your wood and everything to build a house. If they run out, you run out. You'll have to stop building. And isn't it good to know that Christ is full? I mean, he doesn't run out. To have him as our resource, we can't run out of wisdom. We can't run out of answers. We can't run out of instructions on how to do or how to live. All right, the next here, the hospitality in the preparation. Mingled her wine means to add water to it to make it more palatable. Wisdom is portrayed here as a meal in which many are invited to come and partake. So you're blank there. Under the hospitality in the preparation, many are invited to come and partake. This is a choice meal adequately furnished for the guests. Wisdom supplies what the believer needs. Let's go back to Psalm 23. By the way, we had a fantastic time at the Seniors Fellowship, and everyone that said they were coming came. It was absolutely amazing. We broke a record. It was a ministry record, and I'm going to brag to other preachers about it. It's absolutely amazing. Everyone who said they're coming came. And we read this, Psalm 23 there. Verse 5, Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So the Lord has prepared for us, and he's invited us, and he wants us to partake. This is a choice meal adequately furnished for the guest. Wisdom supplies what the believer needs. Thank God. We have no excuses. We can't say, well, God just didn't cover that area, or God just didn't cover that specific thing that I'm going through. He's covered every area, and he's gone through all the hurts that we go through. So be here, the proclaiming of the calling, the invitation to come to the strong house for a splendid meal is made known to many. It reminds us of the invitation of the gospel given in Luke chapter 14, where many people had excuses not to come. Many people had excuses not to come. All right, I gave you the example of, you know, I realize we have to promote spirituality, we have to encourage spirituality, and it has to begin in our own home. And, you know, the invitation for the young people, when we encouraged them at the beginning of the year, read your Bible every day, you know, everyone was at the same level of come, it's open for you, the invitation is open, come partake. And so we just try to be Christ-like and not make it an unreachable thing, but make it reachable and make it known and invite them to come. And we can all have excuses why we can't read our Bibles or why, you know, we don't ask God for wisdom. We might come up with an excuse and say, well, I'm not worthy, or, you know, I don't feel like I should ask God. And you can have that phony excuse and that phony humility, but that's not going to cut it. I remember when I was at camp in Letts, Iowa, and I met my future-to-be wife, and I was praying for her and asking God that we could meet, and that if this was, you know, in the Lord's will, that I wanted to meet her. And one of the men that came with me from Canada down to Iowa said, you know, she's a beautiful lady. You think you deserve her? I said, absolutely not. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, I don't deserve anything that the Lord has for me, but if the Lord has this one for me, I'm going to go for it. And I did. And praise God for that. And he didn't mean any disrespect. And he was just saying what came to his mind. And I thought, you know, I don't deserve her. I don't deserve the goodness of God in my life. But if God wants to impart it to me, I should want to take it. Amen? Amen. So, excuses not to come under B. So next, the proclaimers in the proclamation. She has sent forth her maidens. Verse number 3. She has sent forth her maidens. Wisdom employs servants to send out invitations. How like Christ sends out messengers of the gospel to invite sinners to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. To receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The places in the proclaiming, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Wisdom is not hidden. You're blank there. Wisdom is not hidden. The invitation is public and easy to perceive. Chapter 1 is not a contradiction, but rather a warning to those who will mock at wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 1. So verse 1 tells us that it's Solomon, and then it gives verse 4 to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then it goes on to say here, verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And so that's not a contradiction, but that is someone who gets the fruit of what they were sowing. And so there comes a time, it's just like salvation. You know, people say things like, well, I'll just wait till my deathbed and then I'll call on Jesus to save me. And I know what they're saying. They don't want to live for Jesus, and they're going to wait for the last minute and take the bailout that he offers, and there you go, I'm going to heaven the same as you. But the problem is, what if the blinders are on the deathbed? So what do you mean? People are blind to the gospel. What makes someone think that they'll get to the end of their life and they'll still have that light? What if Jesus had somebody come to their door and they didn't know it, but it was the last time that they were going to get an invitation to salvation? After that, God was going to say, that's it. Very important. When God draws, to take that, because we don't know what's in store for tomorrow. We don't know what our mind will be like. Just because someone understands the gospel one day, I've seen it where another day, they don't understand it anymore. And it's kind of perplexing to watch as a soul winner, but I've seen that. And it's very sad. On the last part, the last paragraph on the first page, the people in the proclaiming, whoso is simple, him that wanted understanding, Proverbs 9:4. Those who need wisdom are eligible to accept. The people that come admitting their need for wisdom and understanding are going to obtain. Everyone needs what God offers, but some are too proud to come. Some are too proud to come. You ever hang around with someone who knows it all? You can't tell them a single thing? It's hard to be around a person like that very long, isn't it? Turn the page over. The precept in the proclaiming. Forsake the foolish and live. And go in the way of understanding. Proverbs 9, 5, and 6. This precept is for all. Come is the invitation. And to forsake the foolish is the challenge. To forsake the foolish is the challenge. Those who will go the right way will discover they have to separate from those going the wrong way. Those who will go the right way will discover they have to separate from those going the wrong way. Now, we teach our children, and I know some people have different ways of teaching their children, and that's fine, but we teach our children to be respectable, to be cordial, to be amiable. When someone says hello to them, to say hello back. When somebody goes to shake your hand, you shake it back. You're friendly. And we teach that. But we're also teaching our children, listen, just because someone is in the same church as you, just because someone might be on the same team as you, it doesn't mean that you have to be best friends with them. You find out where they are in their walk with God. If someone is lost, by all means, be friendly to them just like you would everybody else. Witness to them. Tell them about the love of Christ. But you're not going to have a sleepover at their house. That's just not going to happen.
Amen.
You think about sleepovers. You don't know what kind of rules the parents have, and you don't know what kind of attitude the child has. And when you're saying, you know, it's okay to be friends with someone, you're going to want to make sure that they are going to challenge your child with their spirituality.
That's right.
Listen, they need that. Our children need to know, I'm going to choose who my best friends are and those that have influence on me. I'm not going to let somebody who is foolish, especially someone who mocks the Word of God, I'm not going to want them in my house to mock God in front of my children and my family. Now, I know we have family, and I have people that they're definitely not on the same plane. You know, I'm talking about all kinds of aunts and uncles and different people, and they don't have a spiritual walk with God like I desire them to have. Do I want them to be? Absolutely. Do I have a talk with them and say, now listen, you don't need to have a talk in a lot of cases. But you do need to have friends around you that will even challenge your faith. Right? Look for friends that will challenge you in your faith. You want to be sharper. So when you have somebody, you want them to sharpen you. You want to sharpen others. So we need to make sure we have a walk with God. But there comes a time, young people need to know, listen, if that person wants to walk in a foolish way, I've seen it where young people, they want to grow in the Lord. You can see it on their face. And then their friend comes along and pulls them away. And they don't grow in the Lord. Sometimes friends will keep you from going the right way. And it's important to know that sometimes we have to separate from those that are going the wrong way. I didn't say be unkind. I didn't say let them go to hell and not care. I didn't say that. We need to care. We need to be a good witness. But we also need to make sure that our friends won't drag us down so that we're on a lower spiritual level than God wants us to be.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to stop acting like teenagers. You know, grandmas today, they act like little teenagers. Grandmas wear clothing of a harlot. You go into a grocery store, and it's like, lady, cover up. Like, what in the world's going on? You're trying to be a teenager. You're not. And even teenagers, like, just stop acting that way. We need to be wise. Grandmas, grandpas, you need to realize you have wisdom. You've experienced life. You can pass that on. But be an example. Don't lower your level of spirituality to some ungodly teenager. Don't do it. Number two, the confronting by wisdom. Verses 7 through 9. The confronting by wisdom. When wisdom confronts people, the response to wisdom will vary greatly. So the response to wisdom will vary greatly. And I'll put this lesson online here, and I'll try to do it right after the service so that you have it right away. I should have put it up before, but I forgot to do it before, so I'll do it right after. The reaction of the scorner and the wicked to holy counsel is despicable, but their response does not invalidate the message. Okay? Broad is the way to what? Destruction, right? And many there be that are on that way. Okay? Narrow is the way, and few that find it. So don't judge God's word and God's wisdom because, hey, some people reject it. If they reject it, make up your mind. I'm not going to be one of them. I will not reject that truth. And I will encourage others not to reject it as well. Belligerent people do not respond to a good message properly. This is the experience of those who regularly proclaim the truth. That's why we preachers, we have to be at a place, let people, when they say good message, good preaching, we appreciate it, thank you, Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I go into my office after I preach and teach. I say, Lord, I hope I pleased you tonight, today. And if I didn't, please let me know. But I'm going to please you. I tell them that after I preach. Now, if you tell me that was an encouragement, and boy, that was just what I needed, praise God. I appreciate that. That's good encouragement for a preacher. But if somebody says, man, you're a great preacher, and they overdo it, I'm like, man, I have been here before. And please don't leave the church, is what I start telling people when they overdo something like that. And are you the next one to leave? I kid you not. Sometimes people will just, you know, push too hard, or somebody will say, you know what, I didn't appreciate what you said. Well, was it Bible? Well, yeah, but I didn't like what you said. Well, you got to take that up with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and then I ask myself the question when I'm by myself, Lord, did I say it the wrong way? That, you know, but you say, Lord, I'm going to stand on your word. And if somebody does get offended by it, I'm not going to put your word aside because somebody got offended by it. But Lord, teach me how to say things correctly so that I don't offend them. But if your word offends them, maybe that's a good thing, because they're maybe one step closer to getting right with you. Amen?
Amen.
B, the exhortation for the confronting, Proverbs 9:8, the refusing of the scorner, it is for the messenger to know whether he or she is dealing with a simple person or a scorner. Let the scorner be and carry the message to someone who will listen. The opposite is true of the rebuking of a wise man. So let's read verses 8 and 9 here. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So let's just say you're working at a job. I remember I worked a job in Vancouver, British Columbia years ago. Spent a couple of months there and worked a job outside. It was carpentry. And you work with all kinds of different people. And, you know, let's say you're working with a guy and he's over you and said, you go get that, you scumbag. You know, go and do what I told you to do. And people talk to other people that way at the workplace sometimes. And, you know, I don't do well under those types of situations. And I have a tendency to, I want to just go right up to him and say, you know what I think about what you just said? But, hey, listen, I'm a man. God created me. God created you. Can we talk with each other, man to man, in a respectful way? But you need to find out, am I dealing with a scorner? Am I dealing with somebody who scorns God? It could be God is saying, reprove not a scorner. Have you ever been in a situation you said something and the whole thing got way worse? The whole thing got out of hand? Well, it could be that dealing with a scorner. So, let's get back to my notes here. The response is predicted for proclaiming wisdom to the wise. Am I right? Yep. The passion in the expectation. So, he will love thee. This is the wise man. He will love thee. Those who proclaim wisdom will find favor with good people. Those who proclaim wisdom will find favor with good people. The unwise will respond with resentment, especially the scorner. He will absolutely hate it if you correct him. The progress in the expectation, he will be yet wiser. Those who respond well to the message of truth will increase in their learning and wisdom. If you are not increasing in wisdom, you may want to ask God to show you why. Okay, so we need to learn that reproof is the way of life, and there's times, since none of us are perfect, there's times where somebody's going to come up to us and say, listen, I think you did that wrong, and I want to correct it. Okay? But if things are not done in the right manner, then it's real easy for it to go off the rails, right? So we need to ask ourselves, and when we're dealing with people, maybe it's at the office or you're dealing with someone, if it's a boss, it's much harder. I've dealt with a boss before. I've dealt with lost people and saved people, being my boss, and working in foundries, working as shipper receiver, working as crane operator, these different things. And so I've got the experience that sometimes a saved boss, he doesn't do everything right either. And you've got to ask yourself the question, how am I going to deal with this? You're going to sit there and take off your hat and yell at your boss, and everyone knows that he's a Christian, you're a Christian. You're going to sit there and rebuke him in front of everybody? That's not the way to do things, right? You got a lost guy, and sometimes lost people, they can be nice. They can be good bosses. But if you're dealing with the situation, I remember when I applied for a job specifically, and we were in a room, and I was being asked this question. If someone has a problem with you, how do you handle it? I said, well, first I'm going to try to resolve the situation with that person. And if it can't be resolved, then I'm going to bring it to the supervisor. They must have liked the answer. They hired me. I remember the same place that hired me, once a month, we would have a meeting. And in this meeting, you had boss, supervisor, one more supervisor, then you had all the delivery guys. About 8 to 10 of us in the room. And so the meeting would start, and I would sit there and I would look at the speaker. No matter who was speaking, I would look at the speaker. And I looked around. I couldn't believe it. This is a professional company, paid good money, with good benefits. I mean, teeth benefits. I mean, it had the whole nine yards. It was a good place to work. It was hard. I kept in shape. Didn't have an ounce of fat on me. I need to go back there again. But all the guys had their heads down and were not paying attention in the meeting. And to them, it was just like, well, we got our hour sitting down. We got paid for it. And that was not my... And I guarantee you, if I would have stayed with that company, I would have moved up in that company simply because I was paying attention when my bosses were talking to me. It's amazing what this will do. It shows respect, number one. It shows that you're not hiding anything, number two. And number three, is this the right thing to do? Right? Amen. I mean, that's what I teach my kids. Hey, put them up here. My eyes are up here. And I just remember being there, and I was just kind of floored how these guys, they're putting in their time and couldn't care less what was being said at the meeting. It was just a disrespectful thing. And I just remember that. He will be yet wiser. Those who respond well to the message of truth will increase in their learning and wisdom. If you are not increasing in wisdom, you may want to ask God to show you why. Am I a fool? Am I a scorner? Or is there another reason? But Lord, help me to increase in learning and in wisdom. So number three, the character of wisdom. And number four, the counterfeiting of wisdom. And I did this because I thought we were going to run out of time. But I want to be done a little earlier. I want to put a little bit more time into the prayer. But let's just look at verses 10 through 12 here, the character of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So we're individually responsible to have wisdom. And if you're going to be a scorner, you're going to bear the judgment of that. There's judgment for the scorner. And we read about that in Proverbs, and it's not well. And so the character of wisdom, wisdom is pure. It is holy. It is of the Lord. You can write those things down if you like. And God asked me to, as an individual, to get wisdom. And then number four, the counterfeiting of wisdom, verses 13 through 18. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Boy, I tell you what, this foolish woman makes it sound like, man, everything's good. And you read Proverbs, and there's places where the woman is described as wearing the attire of an harlot. And she is, you know what I noticed? When a young lady starts being sexually active when she shouldn't be, she starts disrespecting her own body by revealing more body parts in public. The whorish woman makes it sound like, man, this is great. This is the best life. And it's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit of wisdom. It is not a better life. Matter of fact, it says all the Hollywood stars are there in the depths of hell. Did I say Hollywood star? I meant stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. The dead, the lost. This kind of woman attracts lost people. And it's not where a man ought to be. It's a counterfeiting of wisdom. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean that it is good. God reminds us of this. And so, feel free to study more, but that's the end of our lesson tonight. The calling and confronting of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.